Welcome to the deep dive. You know how in law school you hit these concepts that seem almost designed to tie your brain in knots?
Oh, definitely.
Well, today we're tackling one of those big ones, the rule against perpetuities. But we're doing it through a really important case for commercial real estate. St. Regis Paper Company Brown. Think of this as like your guide to how this tricky rule actually works in big, long-term business deals.
Exactly. And the rule against perpetuities, or RAP, can feel super abstract at first, right?
Totally.
But this case, St. Regis, it puts it right into a practical context. What happens when you have a commercial lease, a really long one, and it includes an option to buy the property maybe decades later?
So the core conflict here is about these 60-year leases that St. Regis Paper Company had for timberland. And they had options to actually purchase the land from the owners, the Browns and others.
Right. And these options were potentially exercisable way down the line.
So let's set the scene. It's the late 1950s. St. Regis signs these timber leases. Okay. 60-year terms. Huge commitment. And here's the kicker. The leases included an option for St. Regis to buy the land. Fixed price per acre. But, and this is key, they couldn't exercise that option for the first 12 years of the lease.
Which means the option could potentially be exercised, what, 13 years in, maybe 59 years in? Well beyond that classic RAP time frame.
Exactly. That 21 years plus a life in being thing we all learn.
Yeah.
60 years is clearly longer than 21 years.
Right. And the RAP is fundamentally about preventing property interests from being tied up indefinitely, you know, being stuck in limbo forever. So the big legal question was, does this purchase option tucked inside a commercial lease violate Georgia's rule against perpetuities because it could be exercised more than 21 years after the lease started?
It seems like a pretty direct conflict, doesn't it? You've got this long-term commercial need versus a, well, a pretty ancient-seeming property rule.
It does. And initially the courts thought so too.
Oh yeah, the lower courts.
Yeah. Both the trial court and the Georgia Court of Appeals looked at it and basically said, 60-year option. Nope. Violates the rule against perpetuities. Pretty straightforward application, they thought.
Cut and dry.
Pretty much. But then the Georgia Supreme Court decided to take the case. They saw there was maybe more to it, a need to resolve this disagreement.
Okay, so the highest court in Georgia steps in. What did they see differently? What was the majority's thinking?
Well, the majority opinion, written by Justice Clark, really dug into the purpose behind the rule against perpetuities. They acknowledged, yes, the rule exists to stop property from being tied up forever.
Mm-hmm.
But they argued it shouldn't be applied so rigidly that it actually hinders perfectly reasonable and economically useful commercial deals, especially deals like these long-term timber leases.
Okay. So context matters. They're looking at the specific type of agreement.
Precisely. Justice Clark pointed out that long-term timber operations, they require significant investment in planning over decades. Certainty is really important.
Makes sense. A company wouldn't invest millions in managing a forest for 60 years if the rug could be pulled out from under them, or if they couldn't eventually secure the land itself.
Exactly. And the court saw the purchase option not as some separate floating thing, but as intrinsically linked to the lease itself. Its life was limited by the lease's 60-year term. It wasn't an indefinite option.
So it wasn't perpetual, even though it was long.
Right. It had a definite end date, the end of the lease. This led them to a key policy point, encouraging land development and efficient use. They felt that allowing these options within the lease actually helped achieve that goal. In this specific commercial context, that policy consideration outweighed a super strict, almost mathematical application of the RAP.
And there was a quote from Justice Clark that really summed it up, wasn't there?
Yes, he wrote, "The rule should not hinder commercial development. Options exercisable within the lease term align with RAP's policy goals." It really captures their view. The RAP should work with sensible commerce, not against it.
Okay, so the majority prioritized the practical commercial reality and the underlying purpose of the RAP over its strict time limit in this context.
Yeah.
But you mentioned it wasn't unanimous. There was a dissent.
Oh, yes. Justice Smith wrote a strong dissent. His main point was pretty fundamental. Georgia's rule against perpetuities is a statute. It's law passed by the legislature.
And therefore,
Justice Smith argued, it's not the court's job to create exceptions, no matter how good the policy reasons might seem. He basically said, look, if the law needs changing for commercial leases, that's the legislature's job, not ours.
A classic separation of powers argument. Stick to the text.
Exactly. He was worried about judicial overreach. And he also pointed out that at the time, Georgia law didn't really make a clear distinction between what we call options in gross standalone options and options appendant, the kind tied to a lease, like in this case.
So he felt the majority was kind of inventing a new category or distinction that wasn't actually in the law.
Pretty much. He argued the statute applied to all options that could vest too remotely, regardless of whether they were part of a lease or not. He was concerned that creating this kind of exception could destabilize property law, make things less predictable.
Interesting. So a real clash there between interpreting the law as written versus adapting it for perceived modern needs.
Absolutely. And Justice Smith's key quote kind of echoes this. Policy arguments belong to the legislature, not the courts. Very direct.
Okay, so despite the dissent, the majority view prevailed. What's the actual test or rule that came out of St. Regis for law students to remember?
The key takeaway, the rule established by the Georgia Supreme Court here, is this. A purchase option contained within a lease agreement is valid under the rule against perpetuities if it can only be exercised during the term of that lease.
Even if that lease term is longer than 21 years?
Yes. Even, like here, it's 60 years. The crucial factor is that the option's lifespan is tied directly to and limited by the lease's finite duration.
So the option dies when the lease dies, essentially.
That's the idea. The rationale is that the definite end date of the lease provides the necessary certainty. The interest, the right to purchase, will either vest if the option is exercised or fail if the lease expires without exercise within that defined period.
Okay, so it avoids the indefinite uncertainty that the RAP is designed to prevent, even if the time frame is long.
Correct. The 60-year term being fixed meant the vesting or termination was certain to happen within that period, satisfying the core concern of the RAP in the majority's view.
Got it. So fast forward to today. Why is St. Regis still a big deal for law students, especially those interested in real estate or commercial law?
Well, several reasons. First and most obviously, it's controlling precedent in Georgia for commercial real estate.
Yeah.
It gives clarity and certainty that these long-term leases with purchase options are generally enforceable there. That's huge for business planning.
Okay, so practical importance in Georgia. What else?
Second, it's a fantastic case study in judicial reasoning and how courts balance legal doctrine with practical policy considerations. You see the court grappling with an old rule and figuring out how it applies or should apply to modern commerce. It shows the RAP isn't always just a mechanical test.
So it demonstrates a certain flexibility or maybe pragmatism in applying the rule?
Exactly. Pragmatism is a good word. But third, it's crucial to remember this is the Georgia approach.
Right. You mentioned other states might differ.
Definitely. Many other jurisdictions apply the RAP much more strictly, making no distinction between options in gross and options appendant. In those states, a 60-year option like this, even in a lease, would likely be void from the start.
So St. Regis highlights a split in how states handle this. It's not a universal rule.
Not at all, which is why knowing the specific jurisdiction's law is always critical in property.
Okay, so for students trying to really nail this down, what are the tricky bits or key areas to focus on from St. Regis?
I'd say first, always remember the statutory basis of the REP in Georgia. That really fueled the dissent's argument about judicial overreach. It's different from states where the REP is purely common law.
That context is important.
Very. Second, really get that distinction between options appendant, tied to the lease, and options in gross, standalone. St. Regis is all about the appendant kind. The logic might not apply, even in Georgia, to a standalone 60-year option.
Good clarification. Appendant versus engross.
And third, keep circling back to why the fixed 60-year term of the lease was so critical for the majority. It wasn't just a long time. It was a defined long time. That provided the certainty that satisfied their interpretation of the RAP's purpose. The option couldn't just float out there forever.
Right. The fixed boundary was key.
It was the linchpin of the majority's reasoning.
This has been really helpful. Breaking down a complex case and rule, St. Regis really does show that intersection of old doctrine and modern business.
It certainly does. It's a reminder that property law, even the really old parts, is constantly interacting with current economic realities.
So, to leave our listeners with something to chew on, here's a thought. The next time you encounter a long-term commercial lease, maybe one with a purchase option, think about St. Regis. Consider how its principles might play out.
And maybe ask yourself, if this same lease were governed by the law of a state with a stricter, more traditional view of the rule against perpetuities, would that option still be valid?
Right. How does that balance between legal tradition and commercial necessity shift depending on the jurisdiction? It's a fundamental tension in property law worth keeping in mind.